Well, it's a bit of a tradition here at St. Paul's in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania, to recite that particular poem on this particular Sunday. That poem is world famous and very brief, like my sermons, right, Charlie? It was written about 100 years ago, not too far from here up in Vermont, by Robert Frost. Robert Frost wrote that poem. Poem is entitled Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. And if you listen closely, you'll hear that the events in the poem take place, quote, during the darkest evening of the year, which is a reference to the winter solstice,
right?
Winter solstice, which this year is when? Today. That's right. It's today. This is the first day of winter. Now, there's many very interesting interpretations of what that poem is about, what's going on there with that guy. But we can see that it's about a person, a traveler, I refer to him as, who is at a certain place in his journey, in his life, his existence, where the easiest thing to do would be to stay put, to go no further, to give up, or maybe to give in to something, to something. Yeah, he's sort of comfortable where he's at. Yeah? The poem says, there's an easy wind and a light snow, and the woods are lovely, dark and deep. All right? Why move? Why do anything? Right? Why continue? Why try anymore? Right? Why not just stop? Well, like the traveler in Robert Frost's poem, we too can be, you know, maybe call it distracted by the realities of life. And those distractions can come in different forms. We can be worn out by the challenges of life. Maybe discouraged by the setbacks we encounter. Maybe to the point of fatigue or bitterness. You know, it might tempt us to just give up, go no further. Or, maybe we're distracted by the shiny objects of life. Maybe we just stop and stare at things we should not be staring at. That happen? We ever do that? Do human beings do that? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the realities of life, you know, in its many forms, like lovely woods on a snowy evening, can tempt us. Can tempt us to just sort of stop and stare. Maybe give up on our mission, on our duties, on our responsibilities of life. Okay, but then the traveler in our poem, he reminds himself of this crucial fact for the mature person, and especially, I think, for a mature Christian. You got to remember this. He has promises to keep. We have promises to keep, responsibilities to fulfill, duties to serve, calls that must be answered, right? And miles to go before we sleep. Well, about 2,000 years ago, the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, I'm not talking about Pennsylvania, Charlie, the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem would have been challenging even under, you know, ideal conditions. But in our Christmas story, We had two young kids, basically, right? Teenagers, probably. A young man and a young woman traveling together, not married. And she, Mary, was 9 months pregnant. It would have traveled by foot. You know, no Ford Mustangs, Bear. They had to travel by foot. Mary probably had a donkey to ride on, almost certainly. They would have, from Nazareth, headed inland to the Jordan River, and then they would have headed south along the river for relative security. Relative security. The whole trip would have been about 90 miles. Imagine that, 90 miles on foot over rough terrain. Probably pretty tough weather. It would have taken them at least a week at that pace for them, for the two of them, at least a week. Very risky. Bandits, animals, wild animals. Again, the weather was tricky. Public scorn, they wouldn't have gotten a lot of help. So here's the question. Why would Joseph agree to do this? Why didn't he just give up? In our gospel reading today, from Matthew chapter 1, we heard exactly what Joseph was inclined to do, what he was tempted to do. In verse 19, it says this, quote, "He had in mind to divorce her quietly." That's what he was going to do. Yeah, right? Understandable, wasn't it? She was, it says there, found to be pregnant. He knew it wasn't his. So think of it. Life for young Joseph, the journey of his life, and even the journey to Bethlehem, which he would have had to make for the census, one way or another, it would have been a lot easier without Mary and without that unborn child. But something happened, right? Something happened. Joseph was paid a little visit. We heard it in our reading today, verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, Matthew, the gospel writer, does not identify this angel by name, but we can probably assume that this was, in fact, the angel Gabriel. That's right. Gabriel was later, excuse me, Gabriel was later identified as the, we call him the messenger angel. He was later identified in the Gospel of Luke. And Gabriel, assuming it was him, not only explained the circumstances of the pregnancy to Joseph, he went so far as to tell Joseph to take Mary home as his wife and to name the child Jesus. Now, maybe that dream and the startling command from an archangel would have been enough in and of itself to change Joseph's mind. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But there is another very important factor that is revealed in this gospel passage. Not surprisingly, Joseph was a man of strong faith and was well-versed in Scripture. Now, you may recall that he was himself a descendant of King David, as was Mary. And so, as recited in our gospel reading today, we heard it from Jerry, he would have been very familiar with the prophecies of Isaiah. Very familiar. Including our first reading today from Isaiah chapter 7, the prophecy regarding the virgin birth. And so when Joseph heard the words of the messenger angel, it did not sound bizarre or beyond belief. No. In fact, it sounded familiar. Joseph was familiar with this story, this situation. Because of his knowledge of Scripture and his strong faith in God, Joseph was able to stand firm in his faith and move forward against the strong headwinds of his life. And they were there. They were real. But Joseph stood firm in his faith. And he moved forward. And think about it. That 90-mile journey to Bethlehem with Mary and the unborn child changed the course of history more than it had ever been changed before or has ever been changed since. Okay, well, if you opened your email, how many people opened their email yesterday? Yeah, a couple of people, good. If you opened your email yesterday or this morning, Christmas came early, am I right? Yeah, Christmas came early, just when you thought the Christmas season couldn't get any better. Dee sends out a new church newsletter. Everybody get it? Anybody get it? You guys got it? Yeah, he's got it. Good. Yeah. So in keeping with the Advent season, I know you all wait with great anticipation for the arrival of the new church newsletter. Right? Absolutely. And you got it. Right, Dee? You got it out? Yep. And I'm sure you can barely wait to read the world famous, highly anticipated column on page one. No? Tim's shaking his head no. All right, and this month you'll notice that column features a reference to our reading today from Isaiah chapter 7. If you haven't read it yet, please check it out. There's a reference in there to Isaiah chapter 7. Now, did everybody notice, at least the local folks, I don't know what the weather was like elsewhere, did everybody notice how unbelievably windy it was on Friday? Oh my word, right? Yeah. I mean, we had trees down, branches down, power lines down. Our power was out. We have a generator, so it was okay. But we had power out for 6 or 7 hours, long time. And it really occurred to me when I looked out front of my house at the very large oak tree standing not too far from the front of our house. I really need that tree to stand firm. Yeah? I mean, if it fell, I hope it falls away from the house, not towards the house. But I really need that tree to stand firm. I need the roots of that tree to be holding deep and solid ground. I really thought about that as I was standing out there in the wind. And it reminded me of the words from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. This is what the sovereign Lord says. And this is our lesson today on this last Sunday before Christmas. This is the lesson. Quote, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Pretty good lesson. Pretty good lesson. Always easy? No. No. But that's a good lesson. Yeah, I need that oak tree to stand firm through that storm. And God needs us to stand firm in our faith through the headwinds of life, which will surely come. Humanity and all of history needed Joseph and Mary to answer the call and make that long and dangerous journey to Bethlehem. And like the traveler in our Robert Frost poem, we all have responsibilities to fulfill, people to love and serve, promises to keep, and miles to go before we sleep. Amen.